So for those of you who are not familiar with Canadian geography, Lethbridge is just 1 hour north of Montana. For this study, we mainly concentrate on how to best manage livestock manure. With nowadays modern confined operations, we have high production efficiency, high animal density, and high confined feeding operation in a particular area, especially in southern Alberta. We have 10 times more cattle compared to the people. And a feedlot of 25,000 head is quite common. For the soil we study here, we call it a dark brown Transandine soil. So this is a Lethbridge, we're at the bottom corner there. And the experiment started in 1973, mainly in response to one particular publication at the state. They did a survey of the soil near the feedlot operations and seemed to be high rate of application didn't have any impact on the soil property. So farmers say, why do we have this recommended rate of only 30 ton per hectare per year for dryland and 60 ton per hectare per year for irrigated? Why can't we apply more? So our study is mainly try to see whether we can increase the rate of application, whether it's feasible. So the area is semi-arid. We have annual precipitation roughly around 380 milliliters, but we have very high evaporation rate. And our study site is very close to the weather station here, and there's a plot, but we do have a irrigation holding pond there impact our water flow on the groundwaters in this area, in the study site. So we have a recommended rate for the region is 30 ton and for rainfed and 60 ton for irrigated. We also applied twice and three times the recommended rate at the time of study. It is a small plot study. We also have a three tillage treatment on top of that. By 19, most years we grow barley, but later years we also switch to canola, corn, and chickpea. But barley is the main crop we grew over the years. So for the first period of study, if we find that based on the first 13 years, there seem to be manure application increased soil organic carbon, phosphorus, and enzymatic activities. The general conclusion at that time is the presence of the undecomposed manure did not appear to have any detrimental agronomic effect. So applied excessive recommended rate seemed to be the least expensive means of disposing the manure because we have so much manure near the feedlot operations. So we continue the manure application and to see whether beyond this period any detrimental effect. So during 1986 to 2002, we have a tillage treatment discontinued because there's no visible effect between the different tillage treatment. This increased our replication from 3 to 9, and 3 replication was discontinued manual application to observe the residual effect. Afterwards, we also shift more into the sustainability of the rate of the recovery. So for this time, research indicated that 14 annual application that's not long enough to observe the carbon effect, residual effect. We couldn't find any significant patterns or forth. So in 2003, after 30-year application, we stopped another 3 replication of a manure application to see how 30-year application impact the soil recovery afterwards. We fit the data to the linear model as well as the quadratic models. As you can see, it's very simple, just second quadratic and Ymax potentially maximize your upper limit is amount of manure applied, the carbon content. We also try to see how many years it takes to reach this steady state, or you call it saturation concentration of carbon in the soil. So this is the 40-year data, so annual application for 40 years. We see how soil carbon increases. From this graph, we can see that the increase is not linear anymore, and even in the first 30 years, data seem to be in a linear range, but at 40 years, we have more, the increases slow down in relation to the amount of manure carbon applied. So based on that quadratic equation, we estimated that the maximum concentration in the soil could be reached is 134 kilogram per kilogram of carbon in irrigated soil, and 64 gram of carbon per kilogram soil in the rain-fed soil. So we need 16 more years to reach this level. This is based on current 40-year data prediction, and you need another 11 years to reach this highest rate based on the 40-year data. So in a few years, I'll be retiring, more likely that whenever next scientist taking over the plot can see this effect. I'm the third generation looking after this plot, and as previous two scientists, I think go through this, started and maintained this plot. Now look at the second depth of a soil, and at 15 or 30 centimeters. As you can see, the irrigated side still follow a linear pattern, but the rainfed side a little bit tailor off, now increase not as fast as the with manure carbon applications. And again, 30 to 60 centimeters, we still see increase. It's in a sense, it's not really manure application and service increases 30 to 60 centimeters. So it is mainly because the manure application increases soil elevation. Even after 25 years, we calculate about a 23 to 25 centimeter elevation increase, because the amount of manure you apply, not only organic matter, you also have a lot of soil particles. As a result, the original 10 to 15 centimeters soil might be now below 30 centimeters, because the more manure applied, more elevation, more height increase in the soil. Physically, you have a much higher soil elevation with these long-term manure applications. So in terms of a 30-year data, the better fit is a linear increase, and assuming this is this is 30-layer data in the linear range of the quadratic increase compared to 40-year data. So when you look at the manure allocation from 73 to 2003, 30-year applications, in terms of a number of years increase, as you can see, the increase is linear. As with any long-term data, data points not always good, because we have method change. Used to be Wally Black method for carbon measurement. And after 1992, we used the combustion method. And as well as the personnel changes, different people doing analysis, the data points all over the place. And after 2003, we stopped manure applications. The decrease is very fast, much faster than the rate of increase. You can see by the coefficient of the linearity of this equation. And this is for the irrigated plot. Just look at the X coefficient. You can see the decrease is faster than the rate of increase. And for the rainfed system, same thing again. The increase over the 30 years application, and in the last 10 years, decrease. Rate of decrease is faster than the rate of increase. Again, the data is very scattered, because our field site, the plot is only 7.5 meter by 15 meters. Over the years, 40 some years now, we're taking a lot of soil samples. There's a lot of holes punched the plot. It's more like a sweet cheese now. So every time we do sampling now, we have to take one core out. We have to look, is this really real soil, or is this maybe some backfill from previous samplings? So the field site is sampling is not quite challenging now. So in summary, soil organic carbon increased linearly during the first 30 years, and both as a function of manure application rate and as time. And organic seed accumulation seemed to be decelerated in the next 10 years, between the year 30 and year 40, and it's no longer a linear function of a cumulative manure seed applied. Soil organic seed rate of depletion was faster than the accumulations. The future work, we are continuing monitoring soil organic carbon loss and to the ground. We are starting to monitor the carbon loss to the groundwater, as well as measure the greenhouse gas emissions in terms of manure application, manure discontinuation as well. And we also need to do a proper calculation of soil organic carbon storage by soil sampling to a predetermined depth based on the equivalent soil mass, also by taking into consideration of elevation changes induced by the repeated manure applications. Our highest manure site elevation increase by now is over 40 centimeters now compared to initial 1973 soil elevations. So all this need taking into consideration when you calculate the carbon sequestration. I would like to acknowledge my predecessors, Dr. Sommerfeld, who started the field study in 1973, and Dr. Chi Qian, who maintained this until 1998. That's when I started working there, taking over the project. We also have a whole kind of a dedicated field crew as well as laboratory staff over the last 40 some years to helping this project, as well as the statisticians, Toby Jens, who did a lot of static work for the various project. If you have any questions, wanna happy entertaining. My talk is very short.
Any questions? I have just comments. Can you these are very valuable sites. Which I do modeling, and so I like those to stay for a long time, not just for us to talk. Do you have any protocol to limit how much samples get out of those soils?
No.
I think that's what we need to do, especially in these long-term plots, so that we don't have those variability in fluctuation in the measurement and also contamination, archiving, these samples are very important.
Yeah, we do have some archive samples, and not every year. And since 1998, we only take soil sample every 5 years.
Yeah, and every year
it's like Swiss cheese now, yeah. Yeah, so we apply the same thing 30 years, and then, but we only have 10 years of data. Our next sampling date is 2018. Then we will have one more data point. So the more data point, the more accurate your prediction is.